I'd like to say welcome to everyone, wherever you may be keeping this Feast of Tabernacles, and welcome to the last great day. And this will be the title, The Last Great Day. The last great day that we are here celebrating has great meaning in the plan of God. It is a day that we should look forward to with excitement. This feast day is a day with many meanings that point to one final event, which will end the existence of mankind as you and I have known it. The spiritual creation is the real creation, brethren. And that is what this day is about, the final creation of the God of this universe. This day pictures the time when all those who have chosen God's way will inherit eternal life. It is a time to realize what Jesus Christ really did for mankind. We just completed what we pictured, what we call the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth, which paints us a picture of what will take place during the millennium. This last great day also paints a picture of what will happen in the plan of God for mankind. Man has developed some awesome telescopes where he can look out into the universe. And one of these telescopes, the Hubble telescope, has sent some awesome pictures that show the magnitude of this universe. There are stars many larger than our sun, and we cannot begin to understand the vastness of what is there. Our minds cannot grasp what a light year is and how many light years some stars are from this earth. When we gaze into this universe, even with our bare eyes, we can see that a being has created something very awesome and beyond our comprehension. Isaiah 64, if you want to know that, God told us through the prophet Isaiah many years ago. And I'll just read this. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside you, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. God also tells us, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Let's turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. When we understand what God allows us to understand, better said, we can't grasp the vastness of this universe and what God has in store for this universe. Isaiah 40 and verse 26, God tells us, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, that brings out thy host by number. He even knows how many they are, brethren. And he even has a name for each one. And he calls them by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. And in verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the eternal, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. But they that wait upon the eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And you and I understand these words. And we know that in the final creation of man, that all that live God's way and accept Him and become atoned to Him will be a spirit being. And they will not be weary in their spiritual body. David asked many years ago, as he was looking up at what God had created, as he lay out as a shepherd and looked up into the heavens, and he saw the stars, and he asked a question: what is man that you are mindful of him? When this day takes place, it will be a time that all those that are resurrected will come to realize what Jesus Christ really did for mankind. When we pictured what we call the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth, it was a foretaste of what the prophet Joel told us about. Joel told us of a time when God's Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. He told us of a time when God's Spirit will have been upon this earth during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And when this day we are here celebrating takes place, God's government will have been in place for 1,000 years. It will have produced the correct way to live. And this is what those who will be resurrected will see once they are resurrected. They will see a world much different than what they saw while they were alive the first time upon this earth. God has shut up the tree of life except for those who would be in the first resurrection. God had withheld His Spirit from mankind except for those whom He would call down through time. The millennium pictures a time that the prophet Joel prophesied about, when God's Spirit would be upon this earth and poured out upon mankind. Now at this time, the last great day, the time of the great resurrection, a time when people would be brought back to life again in the flesh, they will see the results of God's Spirit being upon this earth. And they will see a system that has been set up upon this earth, God's government, that has been in force for 1,000 years. And they will see a very different world. Jesus Christ and the 144,000 have been ruling this world as kings and priests, and it has produced a different world. Jesus Christ has returned as a lion and restored God's government. He came the first time as the Passover lamb, but He has now established the laws of God upon this earth, and they have been in place for 1,000 years. It's really not the end, brethren. It's really the beginning for the people of God, and that gives us hope. God tells us that our eyes or our ears cannot see or hear what He has in store for those that love Him and love His way of life. The creation is barely started, brother. You and I have had a front row seat at the end of an age, to see the age of man's rule come to an end and see the kingdom of God being set up upon this earth. Some sitting here will see this. They will see the beginning stages, and they will see what we have been picturing at this Feast of Tabernacles. They will see Jesus Christ ruling upon this earth that will usher in this last great day and make it possible for the great resurrection to take place. Let's turn over to Revelation 20. This day pictures a time when the great resurrection will take place. This earth has been preparing for this event for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ has returned to this earth and has set up that system, and it has been in effect for that 1,000 years. And it's taken 1,000 years to prepare this earth. And the millennium was a time of work for Jesus Christ and the 144,000 and those that lived on into the millennium. But Jesus Christ and the 144,000 have been ruling as kings and priests. They have prepared this earth for what we are about to read about in God's Word, the great resurrection. Most of us have been touched in this life by some sort of tragedy where someone has lost their life. We had a horrific tragedy just recently in Texas. We had a similar tragedy in our church area where a young man fell on a chainsaw and lost his life at a young age. And most have experienced death of some sort and have felt the sting of death. That is why this day is so important. It pictures a time when we will see those we have loved brought back to life. And we will see them once again. And this day gives hope. God does not leave us without hope. He gives us understanding of His plan, and He has a plan to deal with death and take that sting away that most of us have felt and that all of us will eventually feel. Can we imagine the billions of people who have been born? Can we imagine how many have lived and died and never heard or had opportunity that we have had as God's people? What about those that have never heard of God's way of life? Our relatives, brothers, sisters, friends that never grasped the plan of God. Many have lived horrific lives in captivity, in wars, in conflicts, and under very severe conditions. And those of us in the countries that allow us our freedom, most of us don't reflect on the severe conditions that some live in this present world. And that's why this day also gives us hope. Can we imagine a merciful and just God condemning innocent children whose lives were cut short to remain dead for all eternity and never know about Him? God has in His plan a just and merciful way of dealing with those who are dead. And that is what the great resurrection is about. It's about a merciful God who has made a way for all that have ever lived on this earth. God is a God of love. He is also a God of justice. It is through this resurrection that those who are resurrected will learn about Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now they will learn about God's master plan. God has in fairness planned for everyone who has ever lived to receive the very same opportunity for salvation that we were given. And in Revelation 20 and verse 5, we find, But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And as you're reflecting on that, brethren, let's turn back to the book of John. John chapter 5. And let's look at how John described this event. The dead that are being discussed are those who are in the second resurrection, the rest of the dead. In John 5 and verse 24 we find, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you," let's notice, "the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Of those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." We know the story about the millennium, how Jesus Christ and the 144,000 have been here preparing this earth for the great white throne, the great resurrection. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Let's notice. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Those raised up from the dead in the great white throne are raised up in physical bodies." Those in the great resurrection. Turn over to Ezekiel 37, where God describes an event that will take place. Ezekiel 37, and we'll start in verse 1. "The hand of the Eternal came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Eternal, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry." Shows that they were there for a long time, as he's describing it as very dry bones. "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" It was a question. "And I answered, O eternal God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Eternal." When some recognize that they have been dead a long, long time, they can look around and see the world that they have been resurrected into, and they will know that there is a God. And God says, "Then you shall know that I am the Eternal." Verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the bread, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our lost is hope, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore I prophesy to them, therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Eternal when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it and performed it, says the Eternal. This pictures a time of resurrection, and it's what the last great day is about, when God will resurrect those who have lived down through time. And this shows us how it will be done, the example that is given, that the dead will live again. And it gives us hope because of those that we love so dearly. And it is a time when we will see them again. And it will be a joyous time upon this earth when we see those resurrected again. Some that will be resurrected have never known about Jesus Christ. Some will. Those that died prematurely and were not in the first resurrection. But many have died and never heard the words that we were privileged to hear. Many of us have family members that have died that have never known this way of life and have never accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Never had that opportunity. Their minds were not opened. But now is that time, and it's what this day is about. It's about the time when God will open the graves for all that have ever lived. And this earth has been prepared for 1,000 years to accommodate this very event. Let's turn back to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Some awesome time upon this earth, when all who have ever lived and died are standing before God. And we see that books were being opened, which is the book of life. Let's notice. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Jesus Christ told us, don't have to turn there, but you can note it. Matthew 12 and verse 36. I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And this is that time, brethren, that Jesus was talking about. And in Romans 14 and verse 11, if you want to note that one, tells us, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Eternal, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God, and this is that time. The Scriptures tell us that regardless of the time when one is judged, they will be judged by the books, the same as you and I. At this time of this resurrection, everyone's minds will be opened to know who the God of this universe is and who Jesus Christ is. And they will be able to look around and see the results of God's laws being upon this earth. They will be able to see the wonderful society that has been created. And they will be given the ability to understand God's laws, just like you and I. And all will be able to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what God the Father and Jesus Christ had made available for mankind. And all will be given enough time with God's Spirit upon this earth. They will be given enough physical life and the ability to choose life instead of eternal death. They will be offered eternal life at this time. God said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and they will be given this ability. It is a wonderful time upon this earth when understanding will be made available to those who choose God's way. God tells us that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it will be so for them also at this time. God tells us in the book of Hebrews that we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And it will be the same for them during their resurrected life, brother. They will have to heed those words that were given to us. And they will have the ability to choose eternal life at this time. Let's turn back to Revelation 20 again. This day is the seventh and last annual Sabbath. This day is an exciting revelation in the plan of our God to us. During the past 1,000 years, humans were given the opportunity to receive the true ways of God. During this millennial period, God's Spirit was upon this earth, and everyone was given the opportunity to receive the true ways of God. Satan and the demons have been removed from the presence of mankind during this 1,000 years. All who have lived and died that have never had such an opportunity, this is what this day is about. And it is now time for this resurrection that we've just read about. Revelation 20 and verse 5, which we read earlier, let's go back to it. But the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. It's all the billions who lived and died. It's what the last great day is about. It's about them. All who have ever lived and died, the rest of the dead. And this means billions of people that will come up in this resurrection. This is the time for them to be resurrected to a physical life. And as we read earlier, it's a time for their minds to be opened. A time for them to be given a calling, just like you and I had our calling. And it's at this time that all who have been resurrected must choose whether they will walk in the ways of God. Revelation 20 and verse 13, we find that the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, which means the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. During this 100-year period, everyone will have the opportunity to choose and live God's way of life. It is this period of time that they will be given life again in physical bodies that will be in good health, whole and complete. And then they can choose to become a part of the God family. And this is part of the story of the last great day. Let's turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah told of the final days of this time, when the resurrected billions would be given opportunity to live again under different conditions. And let's look at this. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Brethren, it will be a wonderful time upon this earth when those that we love will come back to life again and can choose God's way of life. And there will be a lot of joy. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an end for the days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Eternal, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, before they will call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And let's notice the conditions that will exist. And this is what everyone will see that has been resurrected. They will see the results of Jesus Christ and God the Father's rule upon this earth. They will see the peace that has been created and the blessings that have occurred through obedience to God. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Eternal. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 36. It's not far over. Ezekiel 36. And let's look at verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for the idols which they had defiled. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed among the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. And when they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. It's the story of man down through time. It's what Ezekiel's telling us. When they said of them, these are the people of the Eternal, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Eternal, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, so that you need never again to bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land was desolate, has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around shall know that I, the Eternal, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Eternal, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock. like a flock offered as holy sacrifices. Like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days, so shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Eternal. So, brethren, we can see through this prophecy the conditions that will exist at the end of an age that the eternal God of this universe will create. Let's turn over to Isaiah 35 and look at another account. And let's look at another description of what conditions will exist when this day comes about. This is the world they will see, all who are resurrected. God describes a better time upon this earth, and it will be much easier to choose God's way. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Eternal, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful, be strong, do not fear, behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, spiritually and physically. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, spiritually and physically. They will be able to understand the words of their God. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The habitation of jackals where each lay. There shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Pictures of beautiful creation that this millennial reign of Jesus Christ has produced upon this earth, both physically and spiritually, brethren. This earth, as the scriptures tell us, has become like the Garden of Eden. The scriptures that tell us that the plowman will overtake the reaper, everything will be in such abundance. And it's hard for you and I to comprehend. Verse 8, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it, shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Eternal shall return. And let's notice. And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. It's a time of gladness, brother, for the people of God. They shall obtain joy and gladness. They'll know the way. It's a lot of sorrow in this present world. Some awesome tragedies that have taken place. And let's notice, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We see that they will have the ability to choose God's way of life. In the book of Romans, God tells us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We can see that God had a plan down through time, and that Jesus Christ was to be the firstborn among many brethren. And next in the plan came the 144,000. And we understand that they have been ruling for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ upon this earth. This last great day pictures the time in God's plan when the rest that choose God will be in the God family. Revelation 21 in verse 6. Let's turn up. Revelation 21 in verse 6. It's a wonderful time when we see those that we loved that have been a part of this church also choosing God's ways. Those that we walked side by side in God's house many, many years ago. And they will have the ability to choose the way of God. Revelation 21 in verse 6, he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." When this takes place, it brings us to a new beginning. It's what you and I look forward to. It's a new beginning for all who want this way of life. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll pick up the story in verse 24. This writer was inspired to write about this event at the end of an age. It's about this day, the last great day. And it's about the new beginning. It's also about the end. The very end of God's plan for physical human beings, and Paul wrote. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. It's when all rebellion has been dealt with. All the rebellion that has taken place. Verse 25. He must reign till he has put all enemies, he's talking about all of them, brethren, under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And we just read about the second death. And that's it. It's gone, never to be resurrected again. No physical beings left. All is done. This day that is pictured when Jesus Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father is a new beginning. And it's a wonderful time that we all have to look forward to. Verse 28. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Let's turn over to Revelation 21 in verse 1 again. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. It's all been accomplished, brother. Jesus Christ has delivered the kingdom to God the Father. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride adorned to her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Brethren, the plan of God has a new beginning, and our minds cannot comprehend it. Verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Can we grasp any of this? All things new. In other words, we will start again with the creation that God started. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. The fruition of God's plan for 7,000 plus the 100 years, and it's done. Verse 6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is a wonderful time that you and I long for. This day, this last great day, pictures a great resurrection and how it brings about a new beginning for the people of God. We can see the ending of one age and the beginning of eternity. And this is not the end, brethren, for the people of God. This is the beginning for the people of God. And that gives us great hope for those we have lost, those loved ones, friends, families, brothers, sisters. We will see them again. And hopefully they will choose this way of life and be a part of this new beginning. Let's look at verse 8. It's a time of atonement for the people of God. It's a lot of meaning for the Day of Atonement that applies to this day, this last great day. A time when the people of God will be fully atoned to their God. And it will be a new beginning for the Church of God at one moment. But the cowardly, abominable, unbelieving, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those punished by the second death are those who refuse to obey their God. Those who refuse to repent will have their names taken out of the book of life. Their human existence will be terminated, never to live again, never to be resurrected again. And as I said earlier, there will be no eternal pain or eternal torment, as some teach. Revelation 20 and verse 14, back up a little, let's notice. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After the resurrection to the second death, the grave and death will be destroyed and cease to exist. Revelation 21 and verse 4. We see a wonderful time and a new beginning upon this earth for the people of God. God says that He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You and I, with our physical minds, have a hard time grasping these words. We've lived in these physical bodies. We understand that there can be horrific sufferings. All of us know someone who has suffered mightily. But this pictures a time when physical life as we know it will be done away. It's a time when the grave and death will be no more. There will be no more need for the grave. There will be no more need for death. It's a time of a new beginning for God's people. And for those loved ones that accept God's way, we will be able to share with them for an eternity. Our God is a merciful God and has made a way through all the tragedy of mankind to bring about a wonderful world where we can share with our loved ones an eternity of peace and bring about true fellowship with their God and with their fellow man. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Most of us that have been to a funeral hear these words, and probably most of us know it by heart. But let's see what God tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? These words should give us hope because of the tragedies that we have faced. Most all of us have felt that sting of death, and it hurts. It helps when you understand the plan of your God. God says He will take this sting away, the sting of death, and we will never have to face that sting again. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? It's questions that are being asked. And it pictures a time when death will be done away with. Pictures a time when the second death will be brought about for those who do not repent. And after this, all who will be alive will be those who are composed of spirit beings. It's about the spiritual creation of the great God of this universe, brethren. It's what it's all about. It's what this day represents, when the people of God are fully atoned to their God, when they are at one. It's a time when all who are left are composed of spirit, and it is a new beginning. This day pictures eternal life for those who have repented and accepted the sacrifice of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Malachi 4. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament for those that are new, just before Matthew. Malachi was inspired to write about the fate of the wicked. And let's notice how Malachi was inspired to write. He was inspired to write that the wicked would cease to exist. Malachi 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves, a new beginning for the people of God. And God says, and he likens it to stall-fed calves, where everything is provided to nourish them, for them to grow. Verse 3 says, you shall trample the wicked, let's notice, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Eternal of hosts. Turn over a few pages. Matthew is the very next chapter. Let's turn over to Matthew 3 and verse 10. God has had a plan from the beginning. And in Matthew 3 and verse 10, God tells us, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, those who refuse to repent and accept the sacrifice that's been made and live God's way will be thrown into this fire. That's what it's saying. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. Let's notice. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And let's notice what was said. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. This picture's a time when the earth will be cleansed, brother. And those who are left will be fully atoned to their God. And it's pictured here as cleaning out the threshing floor. And let's notice. And gather his wheat into the barn. It's talking about those who have repented and accepted this way of life. And they will inherit eternal life. And let's notice the rest. But he will burn up the chaff, let's notice, with unquenchable fire. Just as Malachi was telling us, brother. And in Matthew 13, just over a few pages, verse 36, let's notice. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest, let's notice, is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. It's the analogy that was given, and it's very simple. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness will be cleaned up, brethren. A final cleaning at the end of this age, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There is an end to mankind as we know it. And there is a beginning for the people of God that our minds cannot comprehend. Let's turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8, in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And man, in his physical body, does a lot of suffering. But these words tell us, you're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. Verse 19 tells us, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And we do. I wish we were there now, brother. But we're not. And we do groan within ourselves, wishing that we were there. Eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We understand that there was a rebellion that took place a long time ago by angelic beings. They brought about the destruction in the universe. Through the technology today, as we talked about earlier, man can gaze through these telescopes far into the universe. We know through God's word how this destruction took place, and that the creation was halted. We can see that by what is revealed in Romans that the creation will begin again. As soon as the spiritual creation is completed, it will begin again. We know that the angels inhabited the earth prior to the creation of man. Angels, fallen angels, caused this destruction. All the planets except for the earth are in a state of decay. They will begin to be restored to what God planned for them a long time ago. Can you imagine the excitement of being a part of the God family with those who you love for an eternity? Can you imagine it? Where it will never be dull. Where you will never get tired or weary. Where you will always have energy and strength. Revelation 21 and verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. The beginning for the people of God, brethren. When all things will begin to be made new. Can we imagine what the creation will look like? God says there will be no more curse. Revelation 22 and verse 3. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The recreating of this universe is now at hand, brethren. And this is just the beginning for the excitement, the peace, and the contentment that will occur for the people of God when we are all at one with God. When those of all the resurrections are united as one. Can you imagine the happiness that will be there when we will be united for eternity with those that we love? When all the pain and suffering of the past will fade away. Verse 9, we find. Then one of the seven angels, Revelation 21 and verse 9, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 3 gates on the east and 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square, its length as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measures its wall 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its walls was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was a jasper, the second sapphire. And it goes on and shows the beauty of what this will look like. And I know we can't place in our minds how beautiful this will be. But just reading how John described it, you can tell that it will be a beautiful place. And it tells us that the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. We can't comprehend this, brother, but we can comprehend the beauty that is being described. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth shall bring, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And there shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it, into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each fruit yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And its servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light, no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So, brethren, we can see that this is the beginning for those that will be in the God family. Those that accept and become atoned to their God. We will see our loved ones again. And hopefully they will accept this way of life and be a part of this beginning. The picture that God has showed us that this day pictures, the last great day. And it is a great day, the greatest of all, because all the rest, the millennium and everything before that is in preparation for this day. The great resurrection, when we will see our loved ones again. So, brethren, enjoy the rest of the feast that remains and have a wonderful, great day.